kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Got a title for us to think about and talk tonight on, and the title is The Outward and the Inward. The Outward and the Inward. And I'm basing this teaching today from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 6 to 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're looking at verses 16 to 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are not seen are temporary, and the things which are not seen are eternal. And that is why, brothers and sisters, we are to walk by faith and not by sight. You cannot believe most of what you hear or see in this world. And the reason I say this is because it's passing away. Everything that you see in nature, everything in your travels is only temporary and it's going to pass away. We know this because the scriptures tell us at the very end, God will consume, he will fold up the world, the universe as we know it. The idea of that is he rolls it all up as a scroll. It served its purpose. It has redeemed an elect. He has chosen his family. He has got what he wants. Now is the new heavens and the new earth, the new Jerusalem. And he will fold up the old and he will unfold the new like a scroll. And the scroll that we know is coming to a close. And there is a new one to be opened, an eternal one. And it is the new Jerusalem, our new abode with God throughout eternity. So the question that I raise, as the apostle raises here in verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Now the question I raise tonight, brothers and sisters, are you beginning to see the things that are not seen? And this is why we have taught faith, total faith, over these years, for the very purpose that you begin to see in the realm of faith. And you start to see by embracing the Word of God and the promises of God's word. This word, these promises, open our eyes to this other world, not this world. And he says here, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And that is why the word of God is eternal, as I spoke of on Sunday. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God says, my word will stand and abide forever. So we have got to be looking beyond this world. What we see, what we hear, what is going on, whatever news, whatever report, whatever, we have to be looking beyond all of this. And this is why I'm calling this teaching today, the outward and the inward. And of course, we get this from verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So what are you looking at? Are you looking at the inward man, or are you looking at the outward? Now, I'm just going to say in passing that this is not talking about two natures, which a lot preach today. You are one nature, you are a new creation in Christ. You have been given a new heart, but we still live in this flesh, in this earthly tabernacle. And outwardly, it is dying. And so we are to walk by faith and we are to look inwardly. The new man in Christ, that is the life that must start to dominate our mind, our thinking, our heart and everything. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is why we decrease, that he increases. This must become the believer's experience, I believe. Else it won't make sense. The deeper life will not make any sense. If you are still looking on the outward, and what is the outward? The outward is the world, and the world will always appeal to your flesh. And therefore it will keep you a slave to your flesh, to your mind, to your thinking. It will keep you sensual. And this is where, of course, the enemy attacks the Christian. He attacked the children of Israel. It's his old attack right through history. Nothing is new. It's called idolatry. If your heart is still in the world, you have problems with idolatry. And so it's either the outward or it is the inward. And God always works in the inward first. You see, the whole stress of this chapter is the power of God. And it is the power of God to change us. It is the power of God to open our eyes to see the inward work that he's doing within us. Now, it's not a sense of making us inward where we're of no good, where we're not productive in the vineyard. That's not what it's about. It's being aware of the power of God in my life, working that deliverance, that change. That is the Christian experience. This is why when I talk with Christians or I meet new Christians, I often start to inquire, in a sense, to find out whether they are experiencing the power of God in their lives that is changing them. And if it is not there, then we have to question whether they are truly born again. It doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter how much they read their Bible or they go to the meetings or church or whatever. The test is my life being changed by the power of Almighty God, conforming me to the image of his Son? That is the question. That is the discernment that the church should have. And I think at times we fall woefully short with this. Do you know why? Because we don't want to face the fact that maybe our loved one, maybe our spouse, maybe our child, or in the family is not actually saved. I often ask God, Lord, show me, is that person saved or not? Because I can deceive myself. I can be in denial. I can wish things. And we all do it. Because sometimes we're afraid. But the question is, we have to be honest, is that person a new creation in Christ? Are they aware of the inward work in their heart and spirit? Because if they are, they will talk about it. They will be experiencing it. You will hear that they want those changes in their lives. You will hear it in their prayers. You will hear it in the conversation when you share. You will hear their enthusiasm over the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing the Word of God. That is the fruit that you know a brother or sister by. And it's not that we are to judge them, it's so that we can pray effectively, that we can pray the will of God, that we thought possibly that brother or sister was born again, but isn't. And so I now can pray, because God has shown me. This is important. And this is why we're to pray. This is why we're to pray for the church. As I've said many, many times, sadly, there's a lot in our churches are not saved. That is the acid test. And Jesus was a master at being able to expose that without judging in that sense. His very presence did it. His very presence either brought out their need of salvation, their desperation, or his very presence made them resist, expose that pride, that arrogance. That's what it did. And that is what the Holy Spirit comes in which to convict. And thank God he convicts us. That's a sign he loves us. He's not given up on us. But the question is it the outward or the inward? And the Apostle Paul is bringing this up here in the context of what he's talking about. And he says, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart what is happening. Don't lose heart what you're going through. Don't lose heart when God opens your eyes to a situation that you thought was different. He says, don't lose heart, because he's in control. That's the wonderful thing about it. And the apostle, of course, was an example of this with what he went through. Stonings, imprisonments, hungers, fastings, poverty at times, persecutions, all forsook him, the burden of the churches. I could just go on. And here he is, going through all of that, and he says to them, don't lose heart. Those words he's saying there are birthed by experience. Why? Because he's aware of the inward work that's taking place within his life, within his heart. That is why you see everything is birthed first within the heart. When you believe in faith, when you confess the Word of God, that faith that comes by hearing, reading the Word of God has to be birthed in the heart. The supernatural has to connect with the physical, and then you get the manifestation. We know that. Hebrews 11:1 tells us what faith is. And that is why the life of Christ must be seen, as he is the only true light of the world. And he has placed that light within you and I. And that light has to be seen first in the inward, in the heart. If you don't see it in the heart, then it cannot come out in your life, your actions, your walk, your confession, because he is the true light of the world. Else they won't see. How will they know? How will the world know that the church is to be a light set upon a hill? It's a beacon to be seen. And of course, the enemy does everything he can to put out that light. And we know this as a church. He tries to do this. Now, going back to our scripture here, which we're looking at in verse 16, he says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing." So, this is about death and life. We know that there's death and life in the power of the tongue. We can speak life or we can speak death. A Christian cannot speak death. They either are of the light or they are either of darkness. And we are known, Romans 10 tells us, by what comes out of our mouth. And this is why I say to you, brothers and sisters, when you hear things or you say things that do not line up with God's word, is contrary to God's word, deal with it immediately. Confess it. Get it under the blood of the Lamb. Because if you don't, you will start to eat of it. You will start to experience it. This is why we don't get the healing sometimes and the deliverances, because our confession is not lining up with God's word, what he says. And very often our words are tested when we're out in the world. They're not tested when we're together or we're in fellowship, because we're talking about the Lord. The test is when I'm out, or when I'm out with my family, or whatever it is. That is the test of what I'm saying. And we either know this and see this in the inward part, or we don't. Now, in verse 16, he says, "Do not lose heart, even though the outward man is perishing." You see, very often sufferings, trials and tribulations can take its toll on the outward man. We know this because sometimes, you know, if you've gone through a trial, or you've not been sleeping very well for the last few nights, you can tell, you can see it. It comes out in the outward man. But he says, whatever these trials, he says, don't lose heart. And very often we don't lose heart because it's not going to last. I very often say to myself, when there's a trial or something's going on, okay, it's happening, I can't avoid it, I'm going through this trial, but it won't last. Praise God. Now, the idea of an outward man, what it's speaking about here, is in connection with an earthen vessel. And what is God doing with these earthen vessels? He's filling these earthen vessels with his Spirit, his presence. That's the wonderful analogy that we have here. The outward man being that earthen vessel. What does he say in verse 7? We get the idea of this in the same chapter. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." And there's the key to it. It's the excellent see all the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. And again, that has to be experienced in the inward parts. We have to know that power first by faith in our hearts. And when it is in the heart, then the old earthen vessel, the flesh, will be quickened by the power of God. That is how it works. One of the things I learned as a preacher and teacher, when God called me, and finally when I surrendered to the ministry and this calling, one of the first things he began to teach me was to birth through from the Spirit into me, into this earthen vessel, the power of God, the blessing of God, the anointing of God in which to minister. And that is why you get in prayer, that is why you pray in the Spirit and so forth, because you are birthing it through. Healing, casting out demons, whatever gift of the Spirit comes by birthing it through first. It has to be birthed in the Spirit, in the heart, into this earthen vessel. And once it's birthed into this vessel, what does verse 7 tell us? Then it says the power of God takes over. It's the power of God that heals. It's the power of God that casts out demons. It's the power of God that raises the dead and the sick and so forth. This is how it's done. And this is, we get this clue from Jesus' ministry. Very often he prayed, or he prayed through the night. Or he got up early in the morning. What was that for? Birthing it through, praying it through. So all he had to do was be led by the power of God, and whoever he met, or whatever situation, or whatever need, the power of God was doing it through him. When will Christians wake up and learn that that is how we walk? That is what God wants of us. What does it say in verse 11? For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our mortal flesh. So there we are. And that's what the cross does, that we take up also daily and follow him. It puts us to death. That is dealing with our will, stubbornness, unbelief, where we want to do what we want to do instead of doing the will of God. Only the cross can deal with that. For the very purpose it's putting you to death, so the power of God can manifest in these earthen vessels. That is the principle. So in other words, whatever we're going through on the outside, whatever we may be having to surrender or not do, as the world does, you can be well assured in the inside, in the heart, you are being mightily blessed. And that is where you need that blessing. And God wants to bless in the heart. And that blessing in the heart is the best thing to separate you from this world and the spirit of this world. You have to be blessed in the heart, as it won't work. You'll only try it for a time. You'll only try this out. And when you find it doesn't work, you go back into the world or compromise with the world. That's what we do, because you're not experiencing blessing in the heart in these earthen vessels. God knows us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows we can't do this. He knows that this is impossible. He knows that the spirit of this age will consume us otherwise. He knows us better than we know ourselves. But he's showing, I will bless you. I will bless you with my presence. I will bless you with my peace. Everything you need to keep you separated and not tainted in this world. Because otherwise you compromise. It's what we do. It's not rocket science. And he always starts with the inside first. And this is what the apostle is saying there. Here. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. And that is the question, and that's why I'm calling this teaching the outward and the inward. What is being renewed? Is it the outward? Because we all want that. That's the broad way. Or are we desiring in our hearts first, Lord, in the inward parts? I want to be blessed. I want to experience you in the inward parts, in the heart. Fill me. Fill this earthen vessel with your power. That is the only way that this will be achieved for the overcomer. So we've looked at the inward, let's now look at the outward, or the outward man. You see, on the outside, we can be at times taking a hammering, a beating. We may be going through a physical trial. Even just everyday life and living can have its toll on us. Tiredness or disappointments, physical trials sometimes, or just the workload is getting too much, or too much studying, whatever it is. And we've gone through a lot of those things I've just mentioned, and you can name them as well. That's the outward man. We're experiencing everyday life. And what it does, the life, everyday life, that is what causes us to age, to grow old. But the question is, what am I looking at? You see, today, everything is so geared to the flesh, to the visual. You've got to look right. You've got to be the part. And so everything is just so geared to the outward. The enemy knows. They have no clue that they have an inward part about them. They have no real understanding that there is within man that area that is for God, for relationship. But they oppress it. They suppress it because they're more interested in the physical and what I do, what I like, my contentment, my pleasures, my appearance and everything. No. See, God doesn't call us for that. It's about the inward part. You see, we've got to remember that God, through whatever we go through, whatever the outward experience, and some have experienced great trial. Some of our brothers and sisters are in prison. They're going through a real outward experience. Physical problems. Some of them are tortured. The outward man at times doesn't look very nice. But it's all about the inward. And this is why he continues to renew us first in the inward. And let's look at some scriptures to familiarize ourselves with these. I make no apology over these scriptures. I know You know most of them, you probably got them underlined, but we need to just remember what God says. Whatever trial, whatever we're going through, whatever your circumstances, whatever you've gone through today, God will continue to renew us in the inward heart. That's where he starts first. Verses 30 and 31 of Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, verses 30 and 31. Even your youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And that is what we do. That is what our Lord did. This is why he spent time in God's presence. He sought God because he needed that strength. He had to go on. He had set his heart, his face as a flint towards Jerusalem, where he was going to be crucified. He needed that strength, that renewing strength in his heart. And it's exactly the same with us. To continue in this walk, to endure to the end, to stay with it and to remain faithful. This is where it happens. What does Jeremiah tell us? Let's turn to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31 and verse 25. Jeremiah 31 and verse 25. For I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. So what he's saying here is, he's fully satisfied. For I have fully satisfied the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. So in other words, what he's saying, I've gone through great sorrow, but as I've sought God, he's replenished. He's built me up. And God always does. He's faithful. Whatever you go through, and we go through these trials and whatever it is, he never leaves us too long in that state. Because he's going to renew, he's going to touch us first in the inner man. By what? The power of God, his power, to revive us, to restore us, to raise us up. We, brothers and sisters, God wants you to know you are utterly hopeless, useless, without the power of God sustaining and keeping you as a Christian in this life. You have to know that. And if you don't, you're going to experience it. He will allow some things in your life until you get it from your head to your heart. I cannot do a thing unless the power of God is with me. That is how we walk. Because the power of God that raised Christ from the dead is the very power that works within us to overcome also in this life. If our Lord and Saviour needed that power, well, then how much more we do? What does Psalm 18 say? As I bring this now to its conclusion. What does Psalm 18 and verse 39 of Psalm 18? For you have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. So there you are, brothers and sisters. Whatever they're doing, whatever they're saying, whatever is opposing, coming against you, and that can also be the devil, the powers of darkness, he says, you have armed me with strength for the battle. And that is why our warfare is not carnal, it is physical. But make sure that your warfare in the spirit, your binding and loosening, is done by the power of God. Else those words will go no higher than your ceiling. It has to be the power of God, spoken in authority, that the powers of darkness will retract. What does Psalm 73 say? Psalm 73 and verse 26. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Well, the psalmist has experienced where his heart has failed him, his flesh has failed him. He's fallen flat on his face. There's no strength, there's nothing to rise up above this. It's like it's consumed me. It's like the devil's won. Have you ever experienced that in your life, where it just seems as though the devil's won? Yes, you have. But something within you says, my flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength, the power of my heart, my portion forever. Why? Because it has to be birthed first in the heart. That is where God always works. You cannot birth this in your head. You cannot birth this by emotion. You cannot even birth this by this sermon you're hearing today. You may be very encouraged by it, and I hope you are. But don't receive this emotionally. It has to be received by the Spirit, the anointing that God sets over the church. So that is translated, as it's put into your heart, it's translated into the power of God. The words that we hear must be translated into reality. And that is how you walk by faith and not by sight. And that is why, as I close, it's so important to pray over the word. I need your prayers, brothers and sisters, for these teachings. It's vital that you get behind the teaching, prayer, intercession. Prayer for yourself before you receive this word. All of this is important in experiencing in the inward. Because the inward must experience first. Whatever's happening on the outward, whatever you look like, whatever your day has been, doesn't matter. What matters is Christ in me, the hope of glory, what he's doing within my heart. And you see, only the humble who bow that knee in the presence of Almighty God, start to get an understanding of the heart. Because God opens our eyes and ears and heart to this. That is why we're these earthen vessels, and God has chosen earthen vessels in which to fill us with his presence, his power, his glory. That is the wisdom and mind of God. And let God be God. He knows exactly what he's doing. And the good news is he's made no mistake over each of us. Hallelujah.
Constancy, follow the master.